The scripture reading for today's sermon comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from chapter 17, verses 11 down through verse 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Here ends the reading. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. This stretch of the calendar they call the holidays, well, they're upon us, friends. This Thursday, and some more than once, many of us will gather with friends or family members, and we will feast upon some of the richest food that we should probably never eat. Many of us will sit among family members we absolutely adore. Many of us will sit among family members we will try to ignore. Most of us will have both around the table, if we're honest. And when you know and follow the same people for so many years, I think you become fully aware sometimes of who they are, who you are, their wonderful attributes, your own wonderful attributes, your quirks, their quirks, the annoying things you all do, and truthfully, you get a glimpse sometimes of who these people really are, not just who they would have you think they are. But depending on your family, its health or level of dysfunction, you'll probably either really be looking forward to Thanksgiving or maybe looking forward to it, but with a little or a lot of anxiety. We should be thankful for this group of people we sit around the table with, whoever they are. But sometimes people in our closest circles of life, they wound us. Sometimes we wound them. Sometimes it's petty. Sometimes it's serious. And yet, these people we call our friends or our family, just like us, have a place at this table wherever we're headed because, well, they're family. Tables are perhaps a great deal like our lives. Those who gather as a central part of our lives are often family. Closest in proximity to us around the tables of our lives, we, in addition to our families, usually place people who make us feel better about ourselves, not worse. At the tables of our lives, the closest proximity to who we are and who we want our friends to be, they tend to look a lot like us, if we're honest, because it's more comfortable that way. If we're Republican, so are many of them. If we're Democrat, so are many of them. Oh, we might occasionally allow a few of the opposing party into our circles, but we know it's all contingent on not talking too much about certain topics. If we're white, most of the people around our tables are white. If they're black, if our skin is black, maybe most of our friends might be black too. If we have certain hobbies or interests, it's amazing how we have the eyes to scan through all of life and all of the people and all of our circles and find those with whom we have a common interest or two and make sure we share at least enough life with these who are most like us that we feel even better about our hobbies or interests, whether they be fishing or knitting or trapping possums. Just seeing if you're listening. Whatever we do, maybe it's cooking or cars or growing carrots, I don't know. It's not necessarily a bad thing that we tend to surround ourselves with people mostly like us who share common interests, who look like us and act like us and think like us and talk like us. It's human nature, after all. And so we have tables, not just the kind we sit around, but the kind that we live life in, these circles, if you will, that we run in and perhaps instinctually place ourselves among people pretty much like us, with a few exceptions. The burning question today is, what are we missing by not intentionally including people in our life circles who are different than ourselves? To put this another way, who might be missing from my table or from your table that could greatly enrich our lives? Is it even possible to share life with people who are radically different than us anyway? What would there be to gain? What would be lost by including people at our table who we know from the outset are very different than we are? If we were to allow someone into close proximity of our everyday lives, our inner circle, if you will, who might even be considered an enemy? What if they turned out to be a hero, not a goat, once we actually got to know them? I wonder then what we would do with such a surprise. Jesus told such a story in Luke's gospel, the 17th chapter that we just read just a moment ago. Oh, you've heard this story before if you've been around church at all, if you've read a Bible at all, or been around Thanksgiving time and sat in a sanctuary. You've heard this story, but chances are you may have heard this story that we read a moment ago, but you probably heard it more like this. There were 10 lepers. Jesus healed them all. Only one took time to come back and thank Jesus. Only one was truly thankful. We should be like that one. We should be the one thankful leper. So take more time to be more thankful, because Jesus likes thankful people. We like thankful people. It's just more fun to be thankful. And, you know, because people who aren't thankful, well, they're not very fun. They're not very pleasant to be around, and nobody likes them. We want to be thankful people. We want to be good people because we like to be liked, and it's likable to be thankful. So we should be thankful and tell Jesus thank you more often. So go be more thankful next time something nice happens to you. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, but you know me. I couldn't just say that and let you go home. Some of you are so accustomed to this reading and interpretation of the story, I can already see you headed out the door, and a few of you already carving turkey in your minds on Thursday. Stop right there. Don't pass a dressing. Hold the rolls. Don't even touch the sweet potatoes, my friends. While these observations might not be completely wrong about the story, they are not what the original hearers of this story would have considered to be the main points. All of these applications would have been secondary to one main shocking point of the story to our modern ears, who do not always fully hear what first century audiences would have heard. This story is less about being thankful, you see, and more about who was being thankful. The hero of this story is the one that was thankful, not just because they were thankful, but because of who they were. Who were they? A Samaritan and, the second strike, a leper. The Samaritan leper. A Samaritan leper would have been someone who embodied two traits that would have caused them to be completely invisible to the Jewish people Jesus was telling the story to. It's extremely difficult to draw modern parallels without creating some kind of new norm. I thought about what parallel I could tell you this person would have been like this person or this group of people today to white, mostly white Protestant mainline Christians, it would have been like. But then what I would have done is I would have made it okay for you to think somebody else should naturally be an enemy. So I don't know what to say. I've been around possums, so I just say it would be like the possum that took up residence in your home without permission. How about that? That's all I could come up with. You name it. You figure out who it is that's another religion with another color skin than you, that has a long-standing, shall we say, beef with Christianity, or rather Christianity, we had a beef with whatever religion this person belonged to, you fill in the blanks, and it would be similar. Leprosy alone made a person a complete outcast, you see, in Jesus' day. Open sores on and rotting flesh were not exactly appealing to be around. And in this period of time, they knew very little about how to treat leprosy or how to cure it or how to care for people with leprosy. So they just did what they knew to do, which was to banish them to live outside of the city limits until they either died or until it went away. But I'm sure it was also easier to live with the knowledge that there were some from their communities who had this terrible skin condition, but maybe at least if they stayed out of sight, people who were healthy could not be faced with seeing them every day. But Samaritans, in addition to being a leper, Samaritans were outsiders not just because of ethnicity, their skin color, or their cultural customs. But Jews thought that Samaritans were complete heretics, completely hopeless when it came to their religion. And do you know what the main religious sticking point was? Actually, doctrinally, there are very few differences. There were a few, mostly just the simple fact that Samaritans considered the most holy place of worship a place called Mount Gerizim, while for Jews it was Mount Zion, so where you worshiped was the whole fight. Not the whole fight, but about 90% or so of their disagreement. It was a line in the sand that could not be crossed. How could a person be a legitimate person of faith if they worshiped at the wrong mountain? We laugh. But do I really need to make a list of the ways Christians and people of faith divide themselves today? Far more numerous than just one main sticking point, the way we divide ourselves. Most Jews had grown so accustomed to this generational feud that instead of it being a heated debate, by the time Jesus came along, most Jews actually intentionally ignored Samaritans. The Jews would literally take a longer way home by hundreds of miles if they could avoid going through neighborhoods inhabited by Samaritans. The Samaritans did not have a place, you see, at their life's table, or their Thanksgiving table for that matter. They were intentionally left out, avoided, pushed out, just as far as they could be pushed out. It was one of these heretic Samaritans with this nasty leprosy that Jesus made to be the hero of this particular miracle story. Now, modern people get distracted by these miracles when we read them in the Gospels, and they ask things like, well, did this literally happen? I mean, I think what we mean when we ask these kind of questions is, well, did the leper's skin really change conditions? I mean, if there was a video camera there, Pastor, could we literally see this happen? I mean, just like the movies? I think so. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't scientifically prove it or replicate it. But I'm afraid when we ask questions like that, we miss the point of this miracle story when we get caught up in whether it literally or physically could happen then or now. The miracle is timeless. The Samaritan leper was celebrated, not ignored, not cursed or cast out. And we should definitely be taking notice of this. Sometimes the people that we view as enemies or outsiders are the ones who have something important to teach us. In this case, to be thankful when healing and wholeness are offered. And to remember, we always have something to learn, to receive, to be blessed by, and to offer to other people. Maybe even people we might not like very much if we only have the open mind and heart to give and to receive. I wonder how many times we have prayed things like this. God, in a moment of desperation, please help me find peace. Help me find healing. Help me find wholeness. And these prayers and cries of our hearts may have actually been answered, but because we expected these things to come by way of our normal companions, we left the peace, healing, and wholeness laying on the table right under our very noses, untouched. All because it was offered by someone else out there who might be different than us. Neither Jesus nor the Samaritan leper allowed their differences to prevent them from relating to one another as human beings. Jesus offered the healing. The Samaritan leper did something that none of the other nine lepers did. He took time to come back, even after he had experienced his healing and had no obligation to do so, and he gave thanks. Now, something that, at least from this story, none of the other lepers did, who had much more in common with Jesus. The truth is, right now in our society, divisions run very deep. Religious divisions, social divisions, political and partisan divisions, divisions along the lines of gender or sexuality or race or religion, just to name a few. Everything seems so sharply divided that it's tempting not to view someone who is very different than me as a human being as the other, and then to just write them off because, well, they think differently, they act differently, they believe differently, they vote differently, they express themselves differently. The headlines surrounding some of the recent politics illustrate this perfectly well. You have a senator nominated by one party who has had nine different women come forward with allegations of sexual misconduct and abuse, and the governor, who happens to belong to the same party of this nominee for senator, state, after all these nine women have come forward and some 30 other individuals not related to them have corroborated these women's stories, the like partisan party governor says, well, I would rather vote for a sexual reprobate of my own party than someone from that other party. There's the problem, okay? Just there's the problem. When our own loyalties increase at a rate that are quicker and more prevalent than what is right, than what is just, than what is fair, than what is moral, we have a problem. So whether we admit it or not, this kind of division has become the norm in our society, not just along the lines of politics. I firmly believe that right now we are in a battle not only for the soul of our nation, but for the soul of the Christian faith. You might call it the Christian moral compass. Someone has to break the cycle that we seem to be stuck in. Someone must step up to the table and add some chairs. More chairs at the table. But these chairs must not be for more people who look and think and act just like us. The chairs we add should be for people who are different than us, who might even believe differently than us, and whose beliefs or convictions about life might even offend us. Because sometimes the hero is not the type of person that we've spent our lives believing they should be. Sometimes, my friends, the hero is the outcast. Sometimes the hero is the minority voice, not the majority voice. Sometimes the ones who are totally off of our radar are the ones that we need to go looking for, the ones we desperately need to listen to. The outcasts are the ones we need to be healed by sometimes, or other times offer healing to. We're selective creatures. We tend to select and surround ourselves with people who make us feel comfortable, better about ourselves. The danger of doing this is that we would create echo chambers which only shout back to us those things we already think and those things we already say and those things we already believe to be true. But you see, the story that we read today of the thankful Samaritan leper reminds us that healing and kindness should be offered not just to those who look and think and act just like us, but healing and wholeness and kindness should also be offered to those that are normally invisible to us. The story reminds us that we have much to learn from those who do not normally get our attention from those that we do not normally look to learn life lessons from. So this Thanksgiving, enjoy dinner with your friends and family, or just get through. But after Thanksgiving, well, why not? During Thanksgiving, make room at your life's tables, not just your dinner table, for those you wouldn't expect that have much to teach you. You just might be surprised what we could learn. In the name of the healer of our friends as well as the healer of our enemies, amen.